That was a blessing, and praise the Lord for good spirit-filled worship that prepares the heart as we come to this avenue of worship. You know, singing is not the only form of worship. We worship through our giving. We worship through our praying. We worship through our preaching. We worship the Lord through our life. And boy, I'm just so thankful now we come to the part where we open God's Word. And if you would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 is where we'll begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we are finishing up our mini-series on what the Bible teaches about church membership and what it means to be a faithful New Testament Bible-believing church member and how God expects us to approach this sacred role according to the Word of God, and how we can fulfill that in a way that pleases Him and honors the Lord Jesus Christ. We have talked about being a functioning church member. We've talked about being a unified church member, a unified body, being a unifier. We've talked about being a praying church member. And we have talked about loving the church and being a church member that loves our church and loves the Lord who is the master and head of it, and loving each other. And we come to our last message this morning, and I'd like to entitle this one, The Gift of Local Church Membership. It is definitely a gift given by the Lord. And we are going to finish our series up this morning talking about how we need to value church membership as a gift from God. A gift from God. So let me read here in 1 Corinthians. You'll find there we've been in this passage several times now because of the context there that Paul is dealing specifically with the local church here and its functions and how it can we all can be used for the glory of God. But look there in verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. The Word of God says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." I'll read that again. "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Let's pray together. Father, do want to thank you again for this time to look at your word. And Lord, we all confess here this morning that we cannot understand the word of God apart from the Spirit of God. So would you illumine our minds, Lord God? Would you speak to us individually and as a church? And Lord, that we might move forward with the power of Christ and accomplish great things for your name's sake. Lord, I commit this time to you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The gift of local church membership. Now, what I'll not dive into this morning is the differences between the universal church and the local church. I believe they both exist. All right? I do believe there is a sense of the universal, all those believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, also referred to in the Bible as the bride of Christ. But there is no gray lines in the fact that it is the local churches that make up the ultimate body of Christ. It's the local bodies that make up. In fact, most of our New Testament was written to local bodies like this one. And so we are looking at how God views church membership with a church like Crooked Creek Baptist. And I hope to encourage you in this area as we look in our final message about what it means to be a faithful local church member. How do you view church membership? Even since this study, maybe you've changed some of your views. Maybe you haven't. Maybe it's caused you to think about some things. But let me ask you just a few questions. Do you view it as a legalistic obligation? Or do you view it as a God-given privilege? There's a big difference. Do you view this church membership as something to delight in or something to dread? Is it about what you can get or is it about what you can give? These are questions we need to ask ourselves. Is there gratitude about this gift of the local church membership or is there grumbling? There is a question we need to ask ourselves. I want to submit to you this morning that I believe that local church membership is a gift. Therefore, we should give thanks. We should rejoice in the gift that God has given us in that. You know, I'll mention some things here on different aspects of that gift that God has given us. But I heard this illustration that had talked about gifts, and you may have heard of it, but it's about four brothers that left home for college and they became very successful doctors and lawyers. And some years later, they chatted after having dinner together and they discussed the gifts that they were able to give their elderly mother who lived far away in another city. And the conversation went a little something like this. The first said, "I had a big house built for Mama." That's right. The second said, "Well, I had a $100,000 theater built in the house." And the third said, "Well, I had my Mercedes dealer deliver an SL600 to her." The fourth said, you know how Mama loved the Bible? She loved reading the Bible. And you know, she can't read anymore because she can't see very well." And he went on to say, I met this preacher who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 preachers and 12 years to train this parrot. And you know, it was a lot of investment to teach him, but he could. But there was one catch. This one son had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years in order to get this parrot that would recite the Bible. And it was really neat to him. And he said it was worth it because Mama just had to say the name, the chapter, and the verse, and the parrot would recite that one that she called out. He said, "You couldn't beat that." Boy, the brothers kind of looked at each other and they were all sort of impressed about this last gift. Well, shortly afterwards, their mother sent out her thank you notes. She wrote to the first one, "Milton, the house you built is so huge, I live in only one room. But I have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyway." She thanked him. And then to the second one, she said, "Marvin, I am too old to travel. I stay home. I have my groceries delivered, so I never use the Mercedes. The thought was good, though. Thanks." And then she got to Michael. She said, "Michael, you gave me an expensive theater with the Dolby sound. It could hold 50 people, but Michael, all my friends are dead." She said, "All my friends are dead and I've lost my hearing and I'm nearly blind. I will never use it." "Thank you for the gesture just the same," she says. "But dearest Melvin," the fourth one, the dearest one, she said, "you were the only son to have the good sense to give little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious. Thank you." Well, she was giving thanks, wasn't she? She was giving thanks to these boys, and she understood they were gifts, and probably this mother would have much rather just had them come to the house, amen. But that illustration shows us that there are gifts that to be appreciated, but I'm telling you what, there is one gift to be appreciated, and that is, of course, first of all, the gift of salvation. And it is through the gift of salvation that we receive eternal life, as Brother Christian taught this morning. But even through that gift of everlasting life that we are given, as soon as we are saved, we are also given the privilege of being a part of the body of Christ. And then when God leads us to that local church where we can commit and we agree and we are in unison of what God is doing, you join yourself to that local body and become a vital member of that body. And it is so so very important. Why should you treasure the gift of your church membership to this church or to wherever you are attending? I'd like to submit to you three things here. Three reasons why we should treasure the gift of church membership. Number one, it was given by God. It was given by God. Look with me in chapter 12 there and look at verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And he will go through and, of course, explain the reason for spiritual gifts. He will explain the different ones and how they're to be used and not abused. We've talked about that and to recognize that. But the logical conclusion is the very fact that when you are placed into the body of Christ through salvation and then eventually into a local body like this, God has given every one of us a gift to be used. The gift of local church membership to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is given by God. Look over there in verse 11 of chapter 12. "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." In other words, uniquely as he decides to each individual, he gives those gifts. And what a blessing that is to know that God has given these gifts. You know, James chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, the gifts of God." And local church membership is a gift from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, But now hath God set the members, that's you and me, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. Do you know you've been placed in this local body as you have joined this church or wherever you are, as it has pleased the Lord? He knew that your gift was needed for this body. He knows each of us and how it works together for one common purpose. And that, of course, ultimately is exalting Christ. And he's given us the avenues to do that. It is a gift from God. Do I have to ask you, do you treasure your gift of membership this morning? I would submit to you, first reason, you need to treasure it because it's given by God. What an opportunity. What a privilege. But not only should we treasure it because it was given by God and assigned by God, but secondly, I believe it should be treasured because it will bless others. It will bless others. Just to go back to what we talked about, he has given each of the membership according as it is needed for the body. Can I say this? Each one of you, whether you realize it or not, God has given you a gift to be used for this church. Every one of you. Wherever God places you in that local body, wherever it be as you're in your Christian life, you need to always remember you are needed. Okay? And God has fitted you uniquely to help the local body that He calls you to. And it is so important to not underestimate that or undermine it, but to realize it, that it is unique and it is specially designed by God. And do you know that your church membership and my church membership, because I'm a member of this church as well as a pastor, we are all members. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of times when we come into a church, a local body like this, we don't necessarily show up with the complete package. Do you know why we are members and God has given us gifts? Do you know what's so neat about this? Is that God is currently developing those gifts in us. We're in an area where we have those gifts, but we're learning how to use those gifts. We're learning how not to abuse those gifts. We're learning not how to neglect those gifts. And God is so patient with us, and He's just helping us develop those gifts as being faithful church members. And through that, others will be blessed. You know, one of the things that I realize that as you see yourself as a church member to bless others and the gifts that God has given you you know, I'm not going to use this message necessarily to talk about how to recognize your spiritual gift, and to figure all that out. There are different tests. There are many ways that you can do that. But I just like to suggest a few here, to recognize that. Three, really, to narrow it down. The three A's, the triple A, is where you can sort of figure out yourself as a church member. How can you be a faithful church member for the cause of Christ and the local church that God has called you to? Number one, I would say your affinity. What do you have an affinity for? What is your interest? What do you really like? What makes you, boy, just kind of pop up with interest and perk up when someone mentions a subject? What is that subject that, man, you know, some people, you start talking about race cars and they're like, oh, you know. But then you talk to somebody else about race cars and, man, they'll start telling you the race car drivers, the numbers, how many they won, how many championships they got. And we could go across the board about that. Some of you can start talking about, computers and websites and different things of that nature, hunting, fishing. You just go across the board. I tell you what, do you know why you have those interests? Because God gave them to you. And God gave them to me. There's nothing wrong with that. Those things, God will use your interests to help this local church. And He gave them specifically for wherever He sends you, those interests that you have. And, some of them you say, well, man, I like, some of you young people say, well, I really like video games. Well, listen, can I tell you, I do believe just like anything, any good thing, you can't abuse it. But you know, you can use video games for the glory of God. Sure you can. It is my opinion that I believe that you can use it to build relationships with your friends and through that try to witness to them with the gospel and playing video games. And I feel like you can abuse them, but hey, that's an interest. And it's okay. As long as it does not violate the Word of God. And like I said, we can abuse any good thing in many ways. But God has given us those things, but not only an affinity that you recognize your spiritual gift, but also your ability. Things you're good at. Things that you, really just clicks well with you. Brother Charles and I have been working on the website, hopefully going to get that thing launched here in the next week. But, Brother Charles has done a great job. We're using WordPress and see, just saying that name, some of you are like, well, what's that mean, you know? But some of you are like, oh, yeah, WordPress. I've used that before. But WordPress is it's just a way, another form, avenue that you can use, set up a website with. And, but he's done very well with it. But he, one of the things he has told me, and I'm the same way, is when it comes to graphic design. Now, setting things up and knowing the codes and the system and how it works and the placement of things, man, not a big problem. But when it comes to actually putting some nice graphics in, boy, that you got to have a gift for that. You got to have a desire for that and a want for that. And God uses those abilities. And you, I want you to know, you have some abilities that the rest of us don't have. And God wants to use that in this church. And I want to encourage you and exhort you, church. What do you like doing? What abilities do you have? What do you do well? Well, can I ask you, are you using that in the local church? In the body that God has placed you? You say, well, listen, what I've done, it would be sort of outside the box to use. That's all right. We can do things outside the box as long as we don't violate the Word of God. You come and approach me and one of the leaders of our church and say, hey, listen, I feel God has uniquely gifted me with this or an ability or a desire. I really love doing this. Hey, well, let's do it. But then there's the third way, I believe, and that is affirmation. I believe that is where the local church recognizes those abilities and those gifts and comes alongside to help develop that gift, to help encourage that gift, and allow that gift to be used for the glory of God. In other words, to make avenues for that gift to be used. And through that, it is a no-brainer. Others will be blessed. Other members in this body will be blessed. The people in this community will be blessed. As we realize that if we treasure the gift of church membership and the gifts that God gives us through that membership to be used for His glory. I'll tell you another one that God will use your membership. You know something? He'll use your story. Everybody in this church has a story. You have a background that God has given you. Some of them have been very difficult. Some of them have been very different than the rest of us. Well, I want you to know, the Lord wants to use your story. Your church membership, God will use your background. God will use your failures. God will use your successes. God will use your victories. God will use your story, friend. You say, my story's boring. No, it's not. God gave you your story. And what He has given you in your story, good and bad, God will use that. And I'm thankful when God's people can stand up and testify and say, God led me through this or this and that, or I experienced this. And God will help you in that, in the ministry of the local body. Don't ever undermine your story and the things that are dear to you and that God has used in your life. I believe if we went throughout this auditorium and boy, just heard everybody's story, the things that they've experienced. Can I tell you this? Mark it down, please, friends. And I hope you realize this. But God is going to use your story in somebody else's life. What you've experienced, what you've struggled with, what God has blessed you with, let that be used of the Lord. You say, I don't have much. Well, you do have a story. And you can use it for the glory of God. I'll tell you another thing. Sometimes we think of the gift of membership. Now, mainly it is, but sometimes we feel like the gift of local church membership is only used for church ministries. That's not true. Yes, it is in a lot of ways. But do you know that God expects you to use your spiritual gifts in the secular workforce? Some of you go out of here and you don't necessarily, you're not in a full-time ministry occupation, but maybe you're in construction. Maybe you're in the factory field of things, whatever. Maybe you're in the medical field, and we could go across all the board, first responders. And many of us are in, God is used in the secular workforce, and God wants to use your gifts there as well to help witness to people and help encourage people. God has gifted you uniquely for that. I know where you're at. There's probably some things that maybe you really wouldn't want to be there right now. Maybe some difficulties that you're facing. Maybe whatever. But can I assure you, God's got those things in your life to help the people you're dealing with. It may just be for a season. It may be longer. But as Brother Christian talked about this morning, with Noah being confined, and God had that planned to get ahead of God. But the fact of the matter is, wherever you're at in life, you may not be in full-time Christian occupation like a pastor or whatever, but I'm telling you, wherever you're at, God wants to use you. You students in high school, universities, across the board, you let your story, let your gifts be developed and used mightily by God. But we see here, why should we treasure the gift of local church membership? Because it was given by God. Because it blesses others. And then thirdly and lastly, I'd like to say, because it will complete the body. It will complete the body of Christ to the way God intends for it to function. God intends for this local body, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, to function with all its members working. That's the will of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22, it says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what, church? God says that every member is necessary. Every member. In other words, if you think to yourself that when, if I sit out, you know, it's no big deal. I mean, they got all those people up at the church, you know. I mean, I really don't need to do this or that or get involved at all. Just they seem like they got a pretty good hold on it. Can I just encourage you? We don't have a pretty good hold of it. We need you. We need each other. The body needs to function as a whole, not 80%. I'm glad we're not just functioning. Well, maybe we are because we lost our hour of sleep, but we should be functioning this morning 100%. We would know it if we were at 80 or 50. or 40 or 30 or even 20%. You would know if you were only functioning on 20% of your body this morning during this message, you'd probably be laid out on the floor. Well, you know sometimes, and I'm not saying it about this church, but you know sometimes it is only 20% of the local body of the church that's doing the ministry of the Lord. Where do you think that church is? And if it's not, it will be. And I want to encourage you, church, let's commit before God to treasure the gift of local church membership and realize every part is necessary. God said it. I'm not saying it. God's saying it. And we need to trust that and embrace that for the glory of God and to see this church go forth with the power of Christ. And that is what we need to understand. We need to treasure it because it completes the body. You know, you say, well, can the church go forward without certain members, without the members, not all the members of the body? Yes, we know that. The church can go forth. It has. It will prevail. But can I tell you this? It is possible for the church to go forward handicapped. And sometimes it does. It's kind of hopping along because there's members that refuse to say, I'm in. I'm all in. And I want to be a part. I don't have much. Here's my abilities. Here's what I love to do. And here's what people have recognized in my life as having a gift for use for God. Just plug me in. I want to be used for the Lord. That's what God is looking for, to complete the body. You know, several years ago, two students graduated from Chicago Kent College of Law. The highest ranking student in the class was a blind man named Overton. And when he received his honor, he insisted that half the credit should go to his friend, Kasparzak. That's an interesting name right there. Kasparzak, after he insisted upon this credit should go, half of this credit should go to his friend, this is why he explained. They had met one another in school when the armless Mr., let's just call him Mr. K, okay? When the armless Mr. K had guided the blind Mr. Overton down a flight of stairs. This acquaintance ripened into friendship and a beautiful example of interdependence formed between those two fellas. The blind man carried the books which the armless man read aloud in the common study, and thus the individual deficiency of each was compensated for by the other. After their graduation, they planned to practice law together. They were interdependent. Folks, we are interdependent upon each other as the body of Christ. He is our head. He gives the commands, but we need each other to press forward in full 100% health. We've got to understand we must treasure the gift of local church membership. You know, when a speck of dust blows into an eye, instinctively, the eye is rubbed with the finger. Especially those of you that have sensitive eyes, and especially to those that wear contacts. I know because my wife wears contacts a lot of the time, and man, when something gets in her eye or affects those contacts, man, it can trigger a quick reaction. And what happens? That finger goes there to try to rub it, to get that little speck of dust or whatever flew in there, and the finger reacts immediately. There's no debate with the finger about whether to help the eye, is there? There's no debate. The finger goes straight there to try to assist the eye in this problem. Now, the eye and the finger are pretty two different animals, aren't they? They're two different members. They're two different body parts, but you know what? That finger realizes, man, I need to help this eye. We're not anything alike. We have totally different purposes. But praise God, I'm about to go help the eye. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to see each other in our gifts that He's given us. We may be really different in personality and ability and likings, but we can still, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help each other. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm trusting that God will grow us in understanding how important this is. It is in a short time when the eye is back to normal, you know, when you can start rubbing it, sometimes all you got to do is rub it, you know, but then sometimes you have to take both hands and open it up, you know, maybe flush some water in there to get it out. But man, when everything's back to normal, and the eye gets okay, and man, you blink and maybe a little water, the hand goes back to what he's doing. The eye goes back to what he's doing, but they help each other. May the Lord help us realize we need each other. Do you see where I'm going here, church? It's the importance of church membership. You know, in March of 1981, who was president in 1981? Somebody say Abraham Lincoln. 1981, I was a year old. President Ronald Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr. and was hospitalized for several weeks. It was very severe at first. It's very serious. And although Reagan was the nation's chief executive, his hospitalization had little impact on the nation's activity. Things just kept on going because of the way things were set up. And, you know, government continued on. But on the other hand, suppose this. Suppose the garbage collectors in this country went on strike as they did in Philadelphia. That city was not only in a literal mess, but the pile of decaying trash quickly became a health hazard. A 3-week nationwide strike would paralyze the country. Who is more important? The president or the trash collector? In the body of Christ, seemingly insignificant ones are urgently needed. You may think you're not important, as the country would see as the president, the most important, and they would look at a garbage collector. Listen, that's not the way God looks at you. God looks at you as a person that is very important. And Paul reminds the body, look, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And I hope, dear friend, as we grow together in Christ and in grace and in numbers, as people join this church, it is my vision, it is my desire to get people plugged in. That it's not 20% functioning in this body, but it is 100%. And we're a team. And we are working forward as the body of Christ. And we can all together function fully and 100% with the energy of the Holy Ghost. That is God's will for us. You know, if you are not treasuring your membership to this church, I want to say this very humbly, but biblically, you will handicap the church that you are part of. If you do not treasure it as a gift and that is from God and that will bless others, it will handicap the body. You know, can we move on handicapped? Yes. But that is not the will of God. God's will is for His church to go forth functioning together in good health. If this church is to move forward for the sake of the gospel and for the glory of Jesus Christ, every member must value and treasure their local church membership. I want us to go in our sixth and final pledge that I am a church member. I'm going to print these out and get them to you. But today is the last one. I want us to say it together here. And I'm going to read it. You can read along with me silently. But this is something that we need to do together. And I'm just going to get down here and read it with you. For those of you that are not a member of this church, I trust that you will say to wherever God has you attending currently. But this is what we should pledge together. I'm a church member. This membership is a gift. When I received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I became a part of the body of Christ. I soon thereafter identified with a local body and was baptized. And now I am humbled and honored to serve and to love others in the church. I pray that I will never take my membership for granted, but see it as a gift and an opportunity to serve others and to be a part of something so much greater than any one person or member. That's our pledge, church. I make that pledge. I hope you make that pledge. And may God help us by His grace to honor this pledge. And I believe He will, because God always honors obedience to His word. You know, here in just a moment, we're going to sing a song together. I believe it's very appropriate for today's message. And it's entitled, We Preach Christ. And one of the first parts of the song talks about we are the church. And folks, that is our ultimate goal. We are here. We cannot lose the simplicity of the goal. The goal is to make much of Jesus and to make Him known. That is the ultimate goal of this local church. Through that, evangelization, discipleship, encouragement, edification go across. But when we sing this song, Brother Mike, you're going to come and he's going to lead us in this. And I trust that it will be an encouragement to you. This will be as our invitation.